happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup, soccer fan, watching the game.
Well, we're also watching the game in the U.S. Senate, where the Respect for Marriage Act is advancing as we speak.
Yeah, we're taping on Tuesday afternoon, per usual. So that's before Tuesday's votes. We will try to stay up to date while being ahead of the actual news. The second hero of the Colorado Springs massacre says, when you come out of the closet, come out swinging.
The perpetrator in the case was indicted on multiple murder charges and has come out, according to his lawyer, as non-binary.
Strangely enough, no one believes him. The community, the LGBTQ plus communities, are debating how to defend ourselves from organized anti-LGBTQ attacks.
Then tell you about a lesbian political pioneer who's stepping down in California after many years of service.
Great hero. And we will be remembering a pioneer in LGBTQ themes in young adult literature.
Qatar's homophobia remains a really big story as the country and FIFA, the governing body, cracked down on pro-LGBTQ displays.
It's just getting crazier by the moment. Afghanistan has resumed public floggings for homosexuality.
And the Thanksgiving Day parade was LGBTQ inclusive in more ways than one.
Here in New York.
And by the way, this is, we're taping on Giving Tuesday. So, if you would like to support us, and we do need your support to keep this going, go to GayUSATV.org and click on donation. It tells you all about the different ways that you can donate and help. We appreciate all the help that you give us over the time, whether it's your financial donations or sending us news notes and things that often get on the air.
Or just your kind words, which are really deeply appreciated. That's the kind of thing that really encourages us and keeps us going. So we will launch into this week's news. And at the top of the news, of course, is the vote in the United States Senate for the Respect for Marriage Act.
So the vote, they had a vote on Monday for cloture on the bill. And it took a long time and we got a little nervous, but it did pass. It needed 60 votes. It passed 61 to 35. So as we tape on Tuesday, they are debating the bill with amendments.
And that may be what took a little extra time on Monday, was figuring out a scheme on how to propose and vote on the amendments, because the right wing is quite adamant that they're going to go on the record as doing every little thing they can to protect their religious freedom.
Well, the Heritage Foundation spent $1 million over the weekend on ads during NFL games and college football games, trying to derail the bill and lying about it, saying it would allow religiously affiliated schools and nonprofits to be sued, which it doesn't, and investigated by the IRS for not supporting traditional marriage, if they only supported traditional marriage. I mean, none of this stuff is true. The bill itself, as amended in the Senate, because our side did amend it, the House version, so it will have to go back to the House after the Senate passes it. But the bill does allow nonprofit religious organizations to refuse, for instance, services of solemnization or celebration of same-sex marriages. But it doesn't allow a nonprofit that is not religiously affiliated to do the same kind of discrimination, which is, I think, what the right wing wants.
And it also doesn't allow commercial enterprises to discriminate, although maybe Hobby Lobby does allow them to do that. But the fact is that I don't think any of this comes into effect, really, unless Obergefell is overturned. So, and these right wingers are the ones who've been saying all along that this whole Respect for Marriage Act is unnecessary because the Supreme Court is not going to overturn Obergefell or Windsor. And so they're fighting tooth and nail here is to justify their existence, to show their constituents and funders that they are willing to go to the mat for these principles. But it's all performance.
It also, they're not even acknowledging, and I think the Mormon Church is acknowledging, they're getting religious protections they didn't have in law before and have not been added to civil rights acts before, beyond what the Civil Rights Act does. And yet Senator Mike Lee, a Mormon from Utah, even though Romney voted for the bill, has this big amendment that requires another cloture vote, another 60 vote threshold to pass. And it says that the feds, what does it say?
I don't know what any of them say. It's all too confusing. I don't know whether the basic bill as passed and supported by the Democrats really does expand religious exemptions. I'm not convinced it does. I think it's all just manipulating language. And I think we're going to end up in the same place we were with the Supreme Court faced with the decision making about how much to allow so-called religious exemptions.
I'm clear on what Lee wants now. He says it says the federal government will not discriminate against a person who speaks or acts in accordance with a sincerely held belief or moral conviction that marriage is or should be recognized as the union of one man and one woman. Well, that's a very slippery slope.
No one's being punished for speaking. The point is their actions. So I'm not sure that Mike Lee's amendment is anything different.
Well, it says speaks or acts in accordance with a sincerely held belief.
Okay.
But I mean, again, that just opens the door to all kinds of discrimination that you can't have.
We're having those debates with or without these amendments, with or without this law. The Supreme Court is still in a position to do whatever it wants to do, and cases are working their way up to the Supreme Court.
And I've been dying to know, Anne, what do you think is going to happen with these amendments?
I do not think they will pass. I think definitely not Mike Lee's, and I don't think the others either, unless they're just technical corrections of something. I frankly cannot pay attention long enough to understand them clearly. So, if I have to make a prediction right now, I say they all go down the drain. This is all nonsense. And are you going to bet me a quarter on that?
No, I have no idea. I mean, some kind of a deal was made. The amendments are not from those who voted for cloture. They're from James Lankford of Oklahoma and Marco Rubio of Florida, both of whom voted no, as they say in the Senate.
Yes, and they're trying supposedly to increase the religious exemptions. Of course, they're not from people who voted for cloture. They're the people who are fine with the bills. But I don't think they're going to get 50 votes, let alone 60.
All right. Well, they're doing it right now. So we'll let you know next week. And if we know in time for our email, we'll send it out with our email. If you want to be on our email list, go to gayusatv.org and sign up. You'll get an email from GoDaddy. And was there just a score in the game, Anne?
Yes. The U.S. scored.
Over.
But Iran. One of their players seems to be injured. He's lying on the ground. So, sorry.
Right.
You know, by the time everyone else sees this show, other than whoever's watching on YouTube or the MNN Facebook channel, all of this will be way past news, but you get to see us react in real time.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about Colorado Springs.
Let's just bottom line. We think we're passing the Respect for Marriage Act in some form. It has to go back to the House to be voted on again in its whatever amended form, and then goes to the president for signing either on Friday or at the beginning of next week.
Yes, Nancy Pelosi coming out of the White House today was very, she spoke about that before she spoke about anything else and said that she's eager to get the bill from the Senate, pass it, and get it back to the president.
All right, so
Colorado Springs, one of the big news things this week was that the lawyer for Anderson Lee Aldrich, who is the perpetrator, is that he is non-binary, excuse me, they are non-binary and wants to use they, them pronouns and MX for a title as opposed to Mr. or Ms. or anything else.
Now, people are casting a lot of cold water on this. No one has ever heard.
That's him with his mother, who was arrested right after he was arrested.
She was arrested for screaming in the neighborhood at 3 o'clock in the morning for disorderly conduct and resisting arrest.
She has a lot of issues.
But she has never referred to Anderson as anything but he and her son.
Anderson's best friend said he never brought this up with me, and that's someone who lives in the neighborhood with him, with them.
Said he used the term faggot a lot in anger.
Well, and of course, he was raised by a father who was very anti-gay and yelled at him, yelled at the kid about anti-gay stuff as well. Now, his father's name is Aaron Brink, an ex-con, a porn actor. He was told, Aaron, the father, was told that his son was dead 6 years ago when he changed his name, told by the mother. And then they apparently reconnected a couple of years ago. And of course, this is the most, well, the whole thing is horrifying. The father was originally told your son was, in a gay bar, killing people, but not killing. And he was relieved that his son was not, he was not there to do gay stuff because we're Mormons and we don't do gay, Mormons. And he was relieved that his son was just a killer.
He also taught his son when his son was little that violence was a great answer to everything.
Yeah. Well, that's the American way.
It works, he said. It works.
I think we should celebrate the other hero in this case. We told you about Rich Fierro last week, who originally grabbed the perpetrator, took them down. The second one is in the hospital, Petty Officer Second Class Thomas James. He pushed the AR-15 rifle away from Aldrich while Rich Fierro stomped him. And he has some great quotes. He says, "I simply wanted to save the family that I had found." He's recovering from undisclosed injuries. He said, "We are a family," he said. "Family looks after one another." He also kicked Aldrich. And he said this. He said, "When you come out of the closet, come out swinging."
Right. So we assume that he is gay, although he didn't use the word.
And invoked the Stonewall, he did.
He did.
Oh, wow.
Those are our clues. Also, Fierro, who got the early publicity about his heroism, has had a very surprising turn in his private life. His business is going gangbusters. Everybody is going out to buy his beer and buy his T-shirts and support his business. So,
well, he saved a lot of lives.
He did.
There's absolutely no question about that.
Yeah. And now, contrarily, focus on the family in Colorado Springs, a longtime headquarters there, is bearing the brunt of blame for some of this, as well they should.
Well, they're a very anti-LGBT organization. So there on their front wall, where their sign is, it says, partially obscured, "Their blood is on your hands, 5 lives taken." Now, look, we don't encourage vandalism, but the accusation could not be more true. They recently registered as a church with the IRS, so they don't have to disclose their donors. They have a 47-acre campus there, 800 employees internationally, a constant opponent of our rights and of sex ed and of they support conversion therapy. Their founder, James Dobson, compared our movement to Nazism. The current president, Jim Daly, tried to say they recognize the hurt the community is going through, but this is a time for prayer, grieving, and healing, not vandalism and the spreading of hate. They're not stopping their hate. No reflection on how their relentless anti-LGBTQ bigotry breeds hatred.
Which I do believe is at the root of Anderson Aldrich's attack, and specifically notice of drag shows at the...
Now, we should say that President Biden called the Club Q owner and the hero, Richard Fierro, and called for a revival of the assault weapons ban. You know, you can't do this kind of damage unless you've got these automatic weapons. Now, Jenna Ellis, one of Donald Trump's lawyers, said the victims of the attack are in eternal damnation now because they weren't Christians. She was a senior advisor to the Pennsylvania Republican candidate, Governor Doug Mastriano, just recently, who thankfully was soundly defeated by Josh Shapiro there. Tucker Carlson had a guest on who said these anti-LGBTQ attacks will continue until the evil agenda of gender-affirming care is stopped. And, you know, this stuff just keeps polluting the airwaves. But a local church in Colorado Springs stepped up to continue Club Q's tradition of providing Thanksgiving dinner this past week.
Nice. And as these hate mongers and violent attackers continue on their merry way, there are some attempts in the LGBT community to protect ourselves. Yes. One of them is something called the Elm Fork branch of the John Brown Gun Club. And they have shown up at events like drag shows and protected people, stood there armed, not shooting anybody, but just protecting people. Well, Twitter has banned them.
We should say this is them protecting a pro-choice march.
Yep, they do that too. But Twitter, I haven't heard about Twitter banning Focus on the Family or Tucker Carlson or
Twitter is hopeless at this point.
No, they've gone off the deep end with Elon Musk, but now they managed to pick through all of that to ban the Elm Fork branch of the John Brown Gun Club.
So, you know, there's a huge debate about this. How do we defend ourselves? We are under attack. We have these Proud Boys showing up with guns at every drag event in the country at this point, practically.
And not just drag events, at random libraries that are displaying LGBTQ books,
right,
or schools.
So, some people say we show up with guns, they show up with guns, you know, they want a confrontation, that it could end up just being a shoot 'em up. But what do you do? Patty Davis says ignore them.
Well, we've tried that. It doesn't work very well.
No.
And I'm not convinced they really, well, I don't know if they want a real shootout. They do want to march around with torches and say Jews will not replace us.
Right.
Oy, oy, oy.
By the way, the DA in the case says that the suspect's gender identity has no bearing on the case on whether or not hate crimes are invoked. I don't even see what, you know, hate crimes does in a murder case, because there's no essential enhancement to murder. It's enhancement for lower charges.
And they've talked about that. The DA has debated whether or not to even pursue hate crime charges, because the murder charges, of course, are the point here. But I think he wants to establish the concept.
Right.
But I don't know what he's going to do to prove that, or whether.
Well, the out gay governor, Jared Polis of Colorado, says he's going to take a hard look at why Colorado's red flag law didn't stop the attack. But the reason is sheriffs won't enforce it. That's the reason.
They've admitted that. Not a mystery. They have to enforce it.
Despite the fact, and we will remind you that Aldrich made bomb threats against his mother last year, and it never went to court.
Which would have been the classic situation where you might go in and take his guns or prevent him from getting others. And Polis talked about more legislation to reinforce the need to enforce the red flag laws rather than letting local sheriffs decide that they're going to be a sanctuary for guns.
So again, okay, can we move on to the Supreme Court?
Well, I think we ought to talk about the guy in New York who was arrested.
Oh, right. Sure. Let's do that.
Yeah. So we showed you last week this guy throwing a brick for the third or fourth time in a week at an LGBTQ bar in Hell's Kitchen, Manhattan, New York. And sure enough, because there he was right out in public on the cameras, he has been arrested. And his name is Sean Kulin, 34 years old, arrested for throwing three bricks on three occasions at this bar He wasn't doing a very good job of hiding, and we don't know a lot about him at this point.
Well, I mean, there's an intimation that he might be gay, and that it was just he was just doing this because a woman friend of his was wronged by somebody in the bar, and that's why he was attacking the bar.
It's sort of ineffectual.
All right. Well, also, so in New York, the Club Q attack and others has moved Governor Kathy Hochul to sign a bill requiring those convicted of hate crimes to undergo training and counseling to overcome their prejudices. Also one for a statewide campaign out of the Division for Human Rights to promote acceptance, tolerance, inclusion, and understanding. Now, they give out $50 million in grants to groups like synagogues and LGBTQ locations for strengthened security. The deadline for applying for that money, if you were part of an institution like that, has been extended. But I want to say, in a related matter, New York City announced in 2021 its Office of Hate Crimes Prevention would give $1 million to a dozen community groups to counter the surge in hate-fueled violence and vandalism. And that was there was a June deadline to complete the projects, but the office has yet to reveal who got the money and how it was used, nor any evaluation of it. So if we're serious about fighting prejudice, we have to be more transparent about what's happening with these funds.
Well, I'm a big believer in education as a way to combat this kind of prejudice, especially early education in elementary schools to begin with. To try to bring people up with a different value system. And I think I'm in favor of more security at places that are targets.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, that's a state program. Now, we told you again about the gay men being drugged, robbed, and in some cases killed when they're in gay bars or leaving gay bars. This criminal syndicate that is doing this may not be the same ones, but they're also doing it downtown at non-gay clubs where they're just giving people bad drugs and robbing them and in some cases killing them. Four people were
crime wave that everyone's concerned about.
Four people were arrested for this. Well, the thing is, you might not have even been aware of these as crimes because the people would just be diagnosed as having overdosed, you see.
Yep.
And now the DA and the police are onto this, and they're trying to stop it. Now, folks, yes, this is happening in Manhattan, but it could happen anywhere in the country. So watch your drinks. Be careful about who gives you a drink or buys you a drink, et cetera, because it's a way for criminals to take advantage.
My solution is don't drink.
Anything? Iced tea?
Bring your bottle of water. All right. Well, speaking of criminals, the infamous dinner at Mar-a-Lago. Trump, yay or ye. I think it's yay today. Some days it's ye. And Nick Fuentes. There's yay at Nick Fuentes. Now, I just want to point out that Nick Fuentes is 24 years old. We have made this guy into a godfather of hatred, a syndicate leader. He's 24 years old.
He was part of the Unite the Right assault on Charlottesville in 2017. He's an admirer.
When he was 19?
Well, an admirer of Mussolini, a Holocaust denier, a neo-Nazi. So even other Republicans are condemning him, but Trump won't condemn him. He will not condemn him. He just says, I didn't know. Which is preposterous.
And he said the guy likes me. That's his standard thing. He likes me. He gets me. He supports me.
Well, Fuentes calls himself a proud incel. He says dating women is gay. Having sex with women is gay. And having sex with men is gay. Having sex is in itself is gay. I mean, look, he's sort of like Milo making outrageous statements all the time. That's how he gets attention. But you know, this seems to be the straw that finally is getting Republicans to say something after 5 years, 6 years of Trump's open bigotry, actually, 74 years of open bigotry when it comes to Trump.
He's hanging out with Milo, but I repeat, he's 24 years old.
Well, Trump has hung out with so many bigots over the years. His rallies are filled with them, with white supremacists and everything, and the Proud Boys. And this is where they've chosen to draw a line.
Well, as you say, this guy is also extremely homophobic. And in addition to his anti-Semitism, his racism, his everything. But he's 24 years old. I predicted 5 years he'll be on our side. And we'll get to reject him again then. One good piece of news from Florida. In the recent elections for a chair of the Broward County School Board, the winner is a woman who was the mother of a daughter who was murdered at age 14 at Parkland. And she beat a DeSantis-endorsed candidate for president of the school board.
Well, school boards, of course, are a big battleground now. And the right wing is putting big money into this, national money. And they did very well in states like Florida. But, and our side spends a fraction of what the other side spends. Now, but in California, the right-wing group, American Council, spent $426,000 and didn't do very well. Moms for Liberty was putting up the candidates. A Proud Boy in Sacramento who ran on a platform of anti-LGBT, anti-immigrant. He calls schools indoctrination centers. That would be more like the Catholic school I went to.
Exactly.
But he lost, but he got 18% of the vote. Another one who's the editor of the blog Red State got 40% of the vote, calling being trans a social sickness. They're pushing what they call a biblical model of sexuality that they want in the schools, whatever that means. So Equality California, the LGBTQ group, is going to get involved much more heavily in the 2024 school board elections. The other side is grooming candidates, and we can't let the groomers win.
Well, they want to go back at least three centuries, maybe more, to a prairie-based homeschooling from the Bible-only model, I think.
Pre-Enlightenment, which would be where Amy Coney Barrett is coming from. Now, look, this doesn't sound like a very serious effort, but people are saying she ought to recuse herself from the case that's coming up on Monday, December 5th, before the Supreme Court at 10 a.m., the one about the web designer who doesn't want to do gay weddings on her design gay wedding websites, even though she doesn't design wedding websites. I don't know why she has standing, but that's coming up before the Supreme Court at 10 a.m.
And Clarence Thomas should be recusing himself from 90% of the cases, given his wife's involvement with the Trump administration.
Absolutely.
But these people are not. This is what lifetime appointments do. They're impervious.
Supreme Court judges are not bound by a code of ethics. All other federal judges are bound by a code of ethics. All right.
Herschel Walker is not bound by a code of ethics either. And his last ditch effort to get elected is to go after Leah Thomas, the trans swimmer.
Yep. He's been running ads with a cisgender woman who didn't win a race against Leah, but wouldn't have won it anyway. And it's pretty hateful. And that's his home stretch. He appears with her in the ad. He also trashed his gay son this week, calling him an ugly newborn and dumb as a brick. But that's the way he's closing out his campaign. He will not answer most press
Herschel Walker called his gay son dumb as a brick?
Yes. Oh, he said he got smarter later, but most of his life he was dumb as a brick. He just went on and on.
Herschel Walker calling anyone dumb is... And the Warnock ad with the voters listening to Herschel Walker is pretty priceless.
Yep. Oh, yes, that's terrific. Yeah. All right. Where are we? Well, we should talk about our friend Sheila.
Since we're on, Sheila Kuehl, certainly. Go ahead.
Sheila Kuehl, 81 years old, veteran of the Dobie Gillis Show, a legendary out lesbian public official. She's retiring from the L.A. County Board of Supervisors, where she was honored this week. She was the first out gay state legislator in 1994 in California, having to wear a bulletproof vest at the time, at first, 28 years in public office focused on foster youth, women, LGBTQ people, has been subjected to investigation recently by Sheriff Alex Villanueva, who was just booted from office in this election. She followed her career on TV. In the assembly, she was the first female speaker pro tem. She was a Harvard law graduate and a professor of law at USC, and we just love her.
And still wearing, and again, wearing a bulletproof vest in these days, still subject to death threats. Zelda from the Dobie Gillis show. I used to love that show.
Right.
But thank you, Sheila, for all your service. She has been a trailblazer every step of the way.
Go ahead.
You're headed in the same direction. Go ahead.
A trailblazer in Chicago. Out Mayor Lori Lightfoot has filed her petitions for reelection and will face six opponents on February 28th, which is when they have their election, if their petitions qualify the other candidates. If no one gets 50%, they have a runoff on April 4th. So there's Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah, I don't think she's been a tremendously popular mayor of Chicago. What anyone can do about the violence there, I don't know. And I don't know who's running against her. So we'll try to research all that before we get to the election.
Okay.
And we want to mourn the death and celebrate the life of Ellen Whitlinger or Whitlinger.
Whitlinger, yeah.
Author and librarian, died at 74 in Massachusetts. She was the author of Parrotfish, a young adult novel published in 2007 with a trans male protagonist who called himself Parrotfish. And this was a strikingly popular and sophisticated book for the time, way ahead of its time, given the fights we're having now.
Ms. Whitlinger had been a children's librarian in Swampscott, Massachusetts, and began publishing young adult novels 30 years ago. Her 1999 novel, Hard Love, about a teen who had just come out as lesbian, won a Lambda Literary Award, not LGBTQ herself. She said, "I don't think writing outside my sexual orientation is any more unusual than any of the other ways I stretch myself to understand the human psyche. Writing characters that are male or black or, for instance, survived by her husband and two children, work was hailed for being funny when so much young adult literature can be dark and dreary."
But ahead of her time and visionary in her approach to these subjects. Should we abroad?
Sorry?
I said, should we go abroad?
Yes. How's the game doing?
I believe still 1-0 U.S., but they're in commercial now, so I'll have to tell you in a minute. But we should start in Qatar or Qatar or whatever. The latest we have here on Tuesday in the middle of the afternoon is this wonderful protester who ran on the field. They're carrying a rainbow flag and wearing a Superman t-shirt that says on the front, "Save Ukraine," and said on the back, "Respect for Iranian women." He's covering the universe. He's got it all covered. And it turns out that he did a similar thing 8 years ago at the World Cup, again, doing a protest running across the field. Now, he was
happened to him?
He was grabbed by security officials and taken off the field. He sort of dropped the rainbow flag as he continued running off the field, and then they let him go. They did not arrest him or jail him or anything. They just took him off the field and let him go.
All right.
So good for him.
Well, then there's
the German, a good little protest.
Then there's the German team. A lot of the Western European teams are chafing under the fact that they're not allowed to wear these One Love armbands, which to support the gay community, LGBTQ community. So they protested by covering their mouths in a silent protest for which they were issued a yellow flag.
A yellow card?
Yellow card. What does that mean, Ann?
Well, when you commit a foul in soccer, the first foul, you get a yellow card. Then eventually, if you do it again, you get a red card. I'm not clear on whether you get two yellow cards before a red card or just one yellow card before a red card. And if you get a red card, you're out of the game and you're barred from the next game. So someone who's given a yellow card is immediately in danger of being kicked out of the current game and the next game. So it's not good to get a yellow card, especially before the game even starts because of your protest.
But we appreciate their support. And of course, you know, a lot of these restrictions were sprung on everybody when they got there. The FIFA would not address it beforehand.
Not address it. The FIFA president stood up and said, I am gay. I am an Iranian woman. I am this. I am that. And
you're
then
full of crap.
24 hours before the games began, suddenly all of this was out the window. Now, the Welsh fans from Wales have a tradition of wearing these bucket hats, which are vaguely rainbow in design. They didn't necessarily invent them to be pro-LGBTQ, but they are a tradition. And there is a Welsh fan being stopped at security on the left, having a rainbow bucket hat confiscated, others being questioned in security because of their hats, which were banned. And then they lifted the ban for the second game. So you go there, you don't know what rule is in effect on any given day.
What do these idiots do when a rainbow appears in the sky?
Hide their eyes.
We own the rainbow.
Put their bucket hats over their eyes.
What do they do when, you know, the Wizard of Oz comes on TV? All right, some other international news, and there was a lot of it. Russia gave final approval to the bill expanding restrictions on gay propaganda, not just to minors now, but to anyone. So basically, it's a don't say gay bill for everybody.
And it's a don't act gay bill, too. You cannot hold hands on the street. You cannot show any affection. In other words, gay is just basically banned across the board in Russia.
Can they still have gay bars and you can go inside?
Those gay bars are not legal in the first place. They may be tolerated, but they could easily be outlawed at any second and everyone in them could be arrested.
And things are even worse in Afghanistan, where the Taliban has brought back public floggings for what they call moral crimes, with people lashed in football stadiums in front of a crowd. 14 last week, including 3 women punished for adultery, robbery, and for gay sex, as the Taliban institutes Sharia law across the country. This is the entertainment, as living conditions have deteriorated rapidly under the Taliban.
Well, I hesitate to even mention it because it's so mild by comparison, but the new sport in Iceland is barking at LGBTQ people on the street. As hate attacks are rising across the board in Europe at every level, but that's the Icelandic version.
More tolerance in India, where the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the marriage equality cases and has given the government 4 weeks to respond. The court has already held that the Constitution protects non-binary individuals, and petitioners say that the marriage laws cannot therefore be restricted to the biological sex of male or female.
I'm optimistic about India. I think we're going to get a pro-marriage decision in the foreseeable future. In Singapore, however, they have followed through on their plan. The parliament there has decriminalized sodomy for men, who evidently were the only ones being punished. But they have also written into their constitution an amendment that forbids legalization of same-sex marriage. They have forbidden the courts to take it up, to hear any challenges to laws. And so they are trying to really solidify their ban on same-sex marriage.
In Italy, a court has ruled that same-sex parents have the right not to be called father and mother on ID papers of their offspring.
Big of them.
Well, going back to being listed as parents as they were until 2019, when the far-right interior minister changed it. Now you've got a totally far-right government who's not happy with this decision, and we'll see what happens. It only applies, though, to the lesbian couple who sued.
Of course. One at a time. That's how we win our rights. World Cup update. We are now in the second half of the U.S.-Iran game, and the U.S. maintains its 1-0 lead.
All right.
In Venezuela, yeah. A nice little demonstration in Caracas. Three men chained themselves together outside the government offices to demand that the government issue a statement supporting same-sex marriage. And they're just sitting in doing this. Other activists are bringing them food and clothes and medicine. They also want the repeal of the sodomy law, and they want trans people to have rights.
Right. In Israel, the high court is continuing to let Israeli couples get civil marriages remotely in Utah via video, which is where you can get them, and get them registered in Israel, including same-sex marriages. But the new government, which is more right-wing, could pass new laws to stop that.
Boy, is it more right-wing. Netanyahu is just going farther and farther.
He has put this extremist, Avi Maoz, M-A-O-Z, of the fringe Noam party as head of a new authority for Jewish identity. This guy is so anti-gay. That's all he runs on. He ran on a campaign of Israel chooses to be normal and said the LGBTQ movement forced its agenda on the country and likened LGBTQ people and reform Jews to Nazis. This is the guy put in charge of Jewish identity under the Netanyahu government.
And he's the only member of his party in the Knesset. And Netanyahu does not need his vote to form a government. This is just Netanyahu pandering to the far right, like Trump, to get himself some more votes down the road.
Right.
But let's end this section, unless you have other stories, celebrating the decades-long fight of Malaysia's Anwar Ibrahim to become prime minister. He was jailed by the opposition, which held on to power twice for trumped-up sodomy charges. Right. And he spent many years in jail, and he is now 75 years old and has finally taken over the government as the new prime minister. And he has promised a government for everybody with no corruption. He's a great guy, as far as we can see, from New York City. And it's just a great triumph. It's like Lula coming out of prison to be reelected prime minister in Brazil.
It's not a majority government. It's a minority government, and it's a unity government. So he is also working with other parties, but he embraces multiculturalism. All right.
And has for many years.
AIDS news. World AIDS Day is December 1st. Check your local listings for activities in your area.
Well, here in New York, they're going to have an event. If you're seeing this before Thursday, December 1st, there's going to be an all-day event at the AIDS Memorial on 12th Street and 7th Avenue, reading of names from 2 to 6 p.m. of those who died. They're handing out soup at 5 p.m., having a candlelight vigil at 6, and then at 6:30, a march to St. John's on Christopher Street, where they're going to be speakers and performances. But there are going to be events all over the country for World AIDS Day as well. There should be.
A study has found that condom use is slipping, even as syphilis and other STIs are surging. Chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis cases have more than doubled in the past two decades. Half of the new infections in the 15 to 24-year-old age group. So we're not obviously educating people enough. The rise is due to also in the gay community and among gay men, because a lot use PrEP and then don't use condoms. And they're looking at an oral antibiotic to be taken after sex to prevent STIs. The CDC is looking at this, or excuse me, the NIH. And it's also encouraging to see that public health officials are using dating apps to inform people that they may have been exposed to STIs. They find that the phone calls aren't working, which is the traditional way. And this way, they say someone you have come into contact with has an STI and you need to get checked out. Broadway Cares is raising money at Broadway shows. And Hugh Jackman of The Music Man, we have a picture, is usually the champion fundraiser. He auctioned off his hat from the show, and it was bought by Nicole Kidman, who bid almost $100,000.
Well, they are old Australian compatriots and friends, and Nicole Kidman has been a longtime supporter of AIDS organizations. And she took the microphone and gave a nice little speech about how much she loved the show and how much she loves Broadway Cares. So that was a nice moment.
Hugh Jackman,
standing ovation.
When Hugh Jackman has a sweaty shirt to raffle off, it usually even brings a higher price. And by the way, monkeypox is now officially called Mpox, according to the World Health Organization. Both names will be used simultaneously for a year, but the U.S. adopted the change immediately.
All right, moving on.
Yes.
Well, I'm afraid we're back to violence in entertainment news around the HBO show We're Here, now in its third season. Wonderful, wonderful TV program of from left to right. Bob the Drag Queen, Shangela, recent hero of Dancing with the Stars, and Eureka, who for three seasons now have traveled around the United States to small towns to connect with the local LGBTQ communities in those towns and increase their self-esteem and their sense of connection and belonging, and to end each episode with a little drag show in town. Well, for the last couple of years, that's all been interesting and a little difficult here and there. But this year, man, they started just in the first show. They're in Granbury, Texas, and they talk about death threats right to their face, rejection and insults and get out of town. Very, very scary stuff. Exponentially more hate and threats in this season. And it's very compelling to watch and unnerving. We're Here on HBO. They now at the end in this episode, it actually culminates happily because they drew a pretty big crowd to the local drag show, which they weren't sure they were going to get. But it's very emotional and very real and important stuff in these times when particularly people.
As we tell you every week, drag queens have been made the number one target of the right wing.
Yeah.
Not injustice or inflation or anything else. Drag queens.
So highly recommend this. And you can see that first episode on demand on HBO. And they've got probably another, sure. They usually do six episodes, I think.
Interesting development at the Independent Spirit Awards for indie films. It's shifting to gender-neutral acting awards for its 2023 nominees, to be presented on March 4th before the Oscars, which are on March the 12th. Each acting category will have 10 nominees. The group says it's happy to welcome non-binary performers without forcing them to choose to identify as male or female. Among the acting nominees is Cate Blanchett, your friend from Tar.
Horrible. I am happy to say that I've been getting viewer support for my opinion of Tar.
And among the film nominees, the true-to-life LGBTQ military drama nominated The Inspection. A non-binary Emma Corrin said she hopes the Oscars and the BAFTAs in Britain will introduce gender-neutral categories as well. How do you feel about that?
Mixed emotions. You know, different gender categories were invented on the assumption that women would never get awards if it was just everybody together in the pot. So do I think non-binary people should be recognized and be included? Yes. Do I think that men should get all the awards? No, I do not. So how do you solve a problem like Maria?
I'm just thinking about it out loud. I think men get most of the roles and most of the big roles, but women turn in many, if not most, of the finest performances. I mean, think of all the.
Who are the voters, Andy?
Well, they're changing. They're changing, and they're becoming more indie. And, well, according to our friend Tom O'Neill, who does the goldderby.com website, or at least invented it, a lot of those men have a great affection for the women.
Let's see how the voting goes.
He talks about the babe factor.
Look, I think there's a much better chance these days of a successful intermingling of everybody coming out in a fair way over time. But I'm old enough to be aware of why these categories started in the first place, and I would hate to see us backslide in that direction.
Last month, when Judas Priest was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame after years of lobbying by angry fans, the frontman, Rob Halford, in his speech at this ceremony, which is now running on cable, said, "I'm the gay guy in the band." He said, "Heavy metal is all-inclusive, no matter what your sexual identity is, what you look like, the color of your skin, the faith you believe in or not. Everybody welcome." So Judas welcomes all, unlike most major religions. Hanford was responsible for heavy metal adopting chrome and leather gear from West Side Manhattan leather shops back in the day.
Of course. That's running on HBO, by the way, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, running frequently in repeats on HBO, also available on HBO On Demand and probably HBO Max. My favorite parts of the ceremony, because I watched it, I'm guessing you did not. Good guess?
No, not yet.
All right. Well, here's what I would recommend. If you want to watch Rob Halford, by all means, fast forward to that. But don't skip the Eurythmics and Dolly Parton, both of which were wonderful moments in the show.
We love Dolly.
Yes. And we love Eurythmics and Annie Lennox. Absolutely. Okay.
All right, of course.
Now, I saw a couple of movies, small independent movies that are going to be either streaming or playing in theaters. The first one that's playing in theaters is Framing Agnes, which is a semi-documentary docudrama opening in New York this weekend and L.A. next weekend. These are trans stories taken from the files of a UCLA study years ago. They opened up the archives and found this. And current semi-famous or famous trans actors like Angelica Ross and Jen Richards play some of these people, real-life people from years ago. They start with some actual film, of course, of Christine Jorgensen. But they go into other stories like this this woman, Agnes, who not her real name, but that was her pseudonym. And she's played quite vividly by a current actress. And they go through the stories of these trans people and the issues, mostly from long ago. Some of it gets a little academic, but most of it is just these stories. And they put it in the format of a talk show. Rather than a sort of documentary style interview, they sort of play with it a little. And it's interesting. I would recommend that. As I say, it's opening in New York this weekend and L.A. after, and undoubtedly will show up elsewhere. They have a real life trans historian talking. So it holds your interest.
What is Merry and Gay?
Merry and Gay is a rom-com. Between on the left is the non-binary character, and on the right is the female character. So it's, do we call that a lesbian relationship? I don't know. This is where I'm starting to get lost. But their moms, they were sweethearts in high school, and their moms bring them back together and it's all, you know, misunderstandings and hurt feelings, but it's, so it's a sort of new age rom-com playing on this new streaming service called DivaBoxOffice.tv, which has a lot of lesbian content on it.
Okay. Merriam-Webster, the dictionary people say the number one word looked up last year was gaslighting, not a surprise, but also in the top 10 was LGBTQIA. Our expanded initials are catching on.
Well, I'm shocked at how much any of it is catching on, because you and I certainly remember when the New York Times would say nothing but homosexual and we had to fight to get gay in the language.
Avowed homosexual. An avowed homosexual.
And I remember quite vividly when...
Hold on. In the 50s, if you look up homosexuality in the index of the Times, see perversion.
Well, I remember when the Evening News started saying gay, and we all went, oh my God, look at that. And that was like the 90s.
It was.
And now, well, and it just rips off everyone's tongue, LGBTQ.
It does. I mean, everything was LGBTQ when they were talking in Colorado Springs. You know, they're talking the LGBTQ, the LGBTQ bar. I don't know what they did on Fox.
I'm getting a little sick of hearing the LGBTQ bar. Come on, let's just shorten it.
Well, it's actually called Club Q, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, they can just say that.
Now, and the Thanksgiving Day parade was very LGBTQ. I have to use at least most of the initials. Yeah. Some Like It Hot, the new musical, which hasn't opened yet, it's in previews, was right near the top of the Thanksgiving Day parade. Men and women in drag and non-binary, Jay Harrison Gee there on the right, a Tony-nominated actor already in the cross-dressing role. So this must have made some heads explode across the fruited plain.
Or maybe not. Maybe no one's head explodes anymore. Maybe we've won.
I heard that some right-wing group was unhappy that Smokey the Bear looked too sexy.
Andy, someone is always unhappy.
Always upset. All right. And then we'll show a couple of seconds of the queer Big Apple Corps, which marched.
At least they weren't told right before to take off their rainbows.
Goodness. No, they were announced by Samantha and Hoda.
Yes, as the queer Big Apple Corps. First time they've marched. Thank you, Macy's. And we'll see you next time.
We are making some progress despite the opposition.